You're watching Fanboy Versus with your hosts, JD Church, Nicole Hale, Chris Triplett, and Chris McFeely.
And you are watching Fanboy Versus. I am your host, JD, joined this week by Chris Triplett, and not Chris McFeely, and not Nicole Hale, but we do have Adam here, Adam Grufflock, as you may know him. Welcome to the show, sir.
Welcome.
Your first time on this show.
Yes, please be gentle.
Oh, yes.
Please.
No, no. We always...
JD's spider.
We'll play some soft music.
Get some Barry White going.
Yes. Candles. We'll light some aromatherapy candles and bring you in gently. So, this week it is...
I didn't sign up for this.
Triplett's like, I gotta go.
Got this thing.
It is Fanboy versus the loss of the Old Republic, as it will be, as... Well, the passing of the torch has come probably sooner than most of us thought it would. Basically, all of the news this week will probably encompass George Lucas this week signed a deal for $4 billion. That's B. To sell Lucasfilm to Disney.
What the hell? What
happened?
Well, I literally went to work that day, and I was like, okay, it's like any other day. I came home, and I was like, I don't know what world I live in anymore. What's going on?
Well, I think there's a couple of things, but, for one, you only have to look around to see, Lucas is creating something that's all his own. He's created this world. And, instead of having your kids fight over your estate and property and all that nonsense, Superman, wouldn't it be nice to get that all figured out ahead of time? And then you can just pass it on if you know you're not going to do anything else with it. And I think that's the case here. I think the other thing is Disney, which is to say, Disney realized a couple of years ago that they only had stuff to market to girls. And that's cool and all, but that's you're missing out on half the market if you don't have, boys' properties to sell to. And so what's smarter, to try and build boys' properties or to try to buy boys' properties? And
dude,
what...
I say that's wrong. The DuckTales and Darkwing Duck, so screw you. They were marketing to boys.
Yes.
You bring those back, and everything's good.
They had tons of product and shows out for that.
Where's my HD remake of Gargoyles, damn it?
Yeah, where's my live-action Gargoyles movie?
Keith David in a hat. Just bring me it.
But we've got two really big moves here by Disney in the last year or two where they bought Marvel, which is, got a great built-in properties and all kinds of success. And now they bought Star Wars, which is, basically the other part of the market. So they sort of overnight went from, oh, yeah, that company that has princesses to, holy crap, like this huge, boy property empire. So, wow. What do you think? I don't know. I mean...
We now live in a world where Lucas's hands are no longer attached to Star Wars. We might get good Star Wars.
Yay!
Yeah. Just a thought.
Yeah, like you didn't even mention that we're getting an Episode 7.
Well,
what
yeah,
the hell?
Yeah, that's the other bit of it. I mean, they have already announced. Well, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Across the aisle is Warner Brothers, and they're like, they read the headline, Disney buys Lucasfilm, and they're like, what? And then they read further down, like, Lucas, Disney now to make 7th Star Wars movie. Damn it! In 2015. Son of a bitch! Since that's when their Justice League movie is supposed to come out. So they are basically, they are so pre-screwed in 2015.
Isn't that like when Avengers 2 is coming out?
Am I wrong? So imagine the summer of 2015.
2015 is this imaginary world in which a Episode 7 just movie and Avengers 2 is coming out. Dude.
Oh my god.
Shit, I'm really not buying it.
I would be shocked if they can get a Star Wars movie off the ground and on film by 2015. I just don't.
They've already been working on it, though.
I know, but it's still. I just don't see it. I'll believe it when the trailer hits, late 2014. When it's November 2014 and I see that trailer for Star Wars in the November films, then I'll believe it. But, or whatever, further along in production. But I don't know. Lucas could get moving on stuff pretty quick because he owned everything and he had sole control. But when you've got, now you've got a company and corporate choices and all kinds of things going on, it just seems like it could be a little bit tougher to get that off the ground. But there already have been a few repercussions, I guess, from this. First of all being that Disney has already announced that they will be yanking the Clone Wars off of Cartoon Network and moving it over to one of their channels. I can't remember which one, whether it's XD or...
I'm surprised by that. I figured they'd can't outright cancel it and do the show.
No, Cartoon Network's a rival company, so, I mean, the show is wildly popular, but so of course, why not keep it? You own it. Mm-hmm. Just move it over to one of your networks. So that could be
Disney XD bound.
Yeah, it could be a huge blow for Cartoon Network, though, because that's one of their big draws. It would be cool. What would be really cool is if Cartoon Network had some show, that was around, like, maybe Warner Brothers or DC properties that were on. If only
they played some sort of a DC Nation show
on
Saturdays at 10 in the morning or
perhaps something that involved like a Justice League, but a younger version. Something that would be on television.
You're being too subtle for me here. You're going to have to explain this a bit more. A young Justice League? What?
A young Justice League.
Teen Titans was cancelled years ago. What are you talking about, sir?
Maybe
are you talking about mismanagement of a property from Cartoon Network?
By Cartoon Network? Surely not. Someone, I think it was Paladin on Twitter that mentioned, when was the last time that Cartoon Network ended a series properly? Like, it didn't just either end or, get canceled before, it was done. It's like, ooh.
Well, why would you want to end a series properly when you could cancel the rest of them and then just keep throwing money at Ben 10 until it goes on and on?
Well,
Ben 10, the seventh generation Deep Space Ben.
Derek's got to have something to do. But
he's on Scooby-Doo.
He's on Scooby-Doo now? Is that where? Yeah, so there you go.
Another thought occurs, though. Do you remember Kingdom Hearts?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does this mean that it's now possible to have Final Fantasy characters with lightsabers running around the Death Star as Jafar starts trying to get people with the Force?
Oh my god, my head just exploded.
Whoa. How did this game now happen?
Whoa.
Will I get Indiana Jones in my Kingdom Hearts is what I want to know. Because didn't they get him also?
Indiana Jones and the Mouse's Skull, yes.
Wow. I have to give a shout-out to... Sorry, I'm totally interrupting the show, but I have to give a shout-out to my buddy, Tylox Local, who's telling me there's Masterpiece Primes at Quail in my town. Sorry. Anyway, so...
That's awesome.
I'm excited. Honey! Baby! I think she's asleep. Anyway, sorry. I've been looking for one of those things. And I don't want to pay that shit.
You cannot find those damn things.
I know, and apparently there's tons up there, so I got to get off the show here in a minute. All right, so that's our show. Thank you so much. No kidding.
The show.
Yeah, I think that's fully possible. I mean, I think one of the things is you're going to see, down the line, who knows, but my wife and I were talking about how they'll probably start incorporating some Star Wars stuff into, Disney theme parks and things. So that's going to be awesome.
A section of Disney World that is nothing but, like, I don't know,
Star Wars?
Tatooine or something. It's a whole bunch of sand, you know?
If I can get a Star Wars cantina somewhere at Disney World, oh my God.
Yes!
That would be amazing.
Will Jar Jar Binks now be a Disney princess? That's my question.
Yes, surely. Oh my God.
There would be a ride where you can, like, chop his head off and be like, kind of like whack-a-mole. It'd be like whack-a-mole with a lightsaber, you know?
No. It'll just be like, there'll be like pinatas. You'll buy Jar Jar Binks pinatas.
You'd be like, Weeza gonna die? Whack! Weeza gonna die? Whack!
They're gonna get filled with Twizzlers. It's intestines! Oh my God. But of course, all of the, oh my gosh, Leia's the Star Wars, you know, the Disney princess now, and all those pictures have started coming out, so. This is huge. I mean, I don't know, like I said, the other implication is that, the only thing that keeps the doors open at Dark Horse is Star Wars. And, are they going to get to keep that, or is Disney going to move everything over?
I don't see any way that Dark Horse is going to get to keep that. Do you honestly think they would?
Considering how fast, the Cartoon Network news of Clone Wars getting yanked, it would not shock me if not in the next week we don't hear about, you know, Dark Horse losing the Star Wars comics as well and not getting moved.
What would happen to Dark Horse if they got yanked? I mean, because they publish like, what, like 70% is nothing but Star Wars?
It would become IDW Dark Horse and IDW Horse Comics and, otherwise Dark Horse has a bunch of really well-known titles like...
I love the Buffy comic, but I don't think that's going to cut it if that's all they're putting out.
Well, I mean, you know, yeah, and then they have... Dark Horse has
yep.
Hellboy.
So, do they have Hellboy? Well, there you go. They've got Hellboy. So,
they have Hellboy? I think they do.
But didn't Boom Studios keep putting out Disney comics for a while?
I don't think
they've fully moved over to Marvel, have they?
It just depends on the contract, I think. Mm. You know, how long the contracts run out. I think for the shows, those run out a lot faster, so they'll pull them. And that's why I say I don't know what the publishing contracts are like. I mean, and that's kind of, I've heard all kinds of rumors and conjectures about what all this means. You know, who has the distribution rights? Who has the broadcasting rights? Who has what? You know, so just because they bought Lucasfilm, how much does that really give them? So I don't know. I think it'll be a little bit before we really get, you know. It's going to take...
It's hit me.
It's going
to
take...
We are in the perfect place now to get a Sam and Max cartoon again.
Yeah. They could totally... That could happen. So, I don't know. Like I said, though, it's going to take, I think, a lot of time before we really get all the, lawyers got to pore over this stuff to really see who has what rights. And, But I'm hoping, like, this whole move will avoid, like, you know, family or ex-wife disputes over who owns what and just kind of move that right along. And, you know, like I said, the last few years there have been so many fights over who owns what property that you definitely want to do that while you're alive and not when you're dead.
It doesn't matter who owns it. What matters is that George Lucas isn't going to be touching it.
Right. He's not going to be messing with it. My hope is that they would stay out of, like, the first and second trilogy completely and do, like, an Old Republic or something. That'd be awesome.
You know, it's possible because, like, they even said that it's not just doing episode 7, 8, and 9. They plan on doing, like, a new Star Wars movie, like, every 2 years. I mean, that could, like, be anything. That could be something else. That could be your Old Republic, which would be awesome.
I think, if anything, it means we might get figures of new characters, which would be really crazy. Star Wars...
Will they have ankle holsters? That's my question. Will the new toys have ankle holsters?
Well, you know, I mean, but... I mean, God. How many different poses of characters from the films can you have? You know, 6 films, and you've got 5 different versions of, like, one character. you know, because they were posed slightly differently in a different scene. I mean, that's the point that Hasbro is at this point, you know, for their Star Wars figures. So I'm sure they're excited to get new movie figures that aren't Clone Wars, because that's the other thing. And there's only so many different paint apps you can do on a clone trooper, you know, to really make that interesting as well.
Oh, I just realized, you know, this means that we're going to get a sequel to AVX. It's going to be Avengers versus Star Wars. You know, I'm just calling it right now.
Well, wait for the Avengers Star Wars crossover comic. You know, that's going to be is the
had transforming Mickey Mouse transforming Star Wars Death Star that turns into Mickey Mouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. I like. This is going.
Well, wait till you see the Epcot Center painted up as the Death Star. You know, that's going to be...
Oh, my God.
With Darth Maul standing on the top, fire the laser!
That will happen when Episode 7 comes out. I guarantee that's going to happen.
Oh, man. That would be awesome if they did that. Oh, my God. I would shit right there. I would just be like...
Don't you kind of feel like a child again now?
I do. Like, I'm like, the possibilities now are just endless.
Yeah.
I'm
pro this. I'm not.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, like, I don't. That's what's so odd, I think, about this is, like, I think by and large, like, the fan response has been sweet. You know, it's like, by and large, it's not like people are really throwing a fit or, like, Disney ruined my childhood or anything. It's all like, you know, Lucas isn't making the next movie.
Yes!
You know, it's like, score. Even though, I mean, which is kind of sad because this is the dude that, like, made it happen. And we're like, please stop fucking up your own material. You did great with, like, the first one and then not directing the other two. And then you had to direct the other three and you screwed it all up. Right.
You know, all this means is when Episode 7 comes out, and if it does suck, they can't blame George Lucas.
That's true. And you know what? He'll be laughing the whole time, too. He'll be like, ha-ha! Fanboys! See? It's just a shit concept. Yeah. But anyway, so yeah. Otherwise, in the news, really, not much. Really, the comics world has been really tied up over this Hurricane Sandy. You know, a lot of the comics community is based around New York, so there's been a huge, you know, that's been a huge deal in taking up a lot of what otherwise would be a lot of comic news out of the week. So, and of course, our you know, hearts and thoughts go out to those affected by the hurricane. Not people affected by anything in other countries because we're America. But our hearts and minds go out to...
What?
Oh, it's true.
Oh, we know.
It's... we as in those who are in America talking about this. Not you're our token foreign person. What do you want?
Okay.
Oh, you're filling the British quota. I don't know what you...
JD's responses do not reflect. See if
Radio Free Cybertron Network. And yeah. Anyway, but no, really. I mean, it's, you know. So hopefully, there's a lot of recovery. I know that a lot of people in the comics community were, you know, tweeting without power and all kinds of things. So it's kind of crazy to watch if you follow a lot of that on Twitter this week. The only other thing, which is kind of odd, is there's this comic, I guess, that started this week, Little Gotham. Is that what it's called? I have to pull it up here and see. But it's apparently this, like, it may be digital only as well. While I'm pulling this up, we'll talk about the IDW thing, I guess, real quick. So IDW joked, I guess, at a couple of panels... This is priceless. Adam's excited about this. IDW joked at some panel. You know, of course, they're doing all of these crossovers with the Mars Attacks. And they joked at one of the panels that one of the crossovers would be Honey Boo Boo. Now, if you're not familiar with who Honey Boo Boo is, it's an American reality TV show, though no reality that I am familiar with.
There's no reality in that show, yeah.
Where this little girl is a pageant girl, you know, one of the little beauty pageant, little girl, little kid beauty pageant things. And it's all about her family, and they are some of the most backwards, insane people. I heard in one episode they were referring to going shopping as dumpster diving, or however. Yeah, they were going. They said they were going shopping, and they ended up going dumpster diving. So, all kinds of. Well, they're just awful people. I don't know. I mean, they're nice enough, but wow, they're backwards. Anyway, so there was going to be a Mars Attacks Honey Boo Boo crossover. And then apparently there was another joke or comment about it in the past week. Now, here's my deal. Bleeding Cool has been typically pretty good. You know, they've been on top of, you know, rumors and stuff. A lot of the rumors they had for Marvel Now turned out to be right. A lot of the rumors and stuff they had for New 52 when that happened a year or so were right. And then over the last few weeks, it's like, I don't know what's happened over the last month or so, but like their journalistic integrity, if they had much, was just like thrown out the window. Because they reported this morning that they were confirming that this Mars Attacks Honey Boo Boo crossover comic was a real thing. And it's one of those things you read and you're just like, what? And Chris Ryle tweeted about a year after, or about an hour after it posted, it was like, no, that's a joke. Not real. Not happening at all. But nice try. So, don't worry, kids. There is not a Honey Boo Boo Mars Attacks crossover.
You know, we want kids to read more. I don't think that would work. I think that would like drive them away if you made that comic.
Yeah, really. Like, I don't even
to write a synopsis and send it in.
I don't even know how that would work. I don't even know what would how would
page one Mars Attacks. Page two, they accept her as their new leader. Page three, they go back to Mars. Page four, Earth finds global peace.
Yeah, that would. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That or she would kill them all with. I don't know, whatever diseases infest the home. dear God. All right. So,
yeah. Take it, Martians. It's leprosy.
Oh, my God. Ugh. All right.
I feel dumber just having this discussion.
I know. This and the next thing are the two discussions I'm having because Chris McFeely are not here. Usually when he's here, he edits these things to where I'm not allowed to talk about them. But since he's not here to defend the show, then we will discuss them. So the Honey Boo Boo was your one. Here's your second. So apparently there's this digital comic, I guess, called or a strip of some sort called Little Gotham. Little. It's with the apostrophe.
An image of this. Little what Gotham. Exactly is it?
I don't know.
Is it like what was that? Tiny Titans? Is it like that?
I guess. I mean, it's DC property and all, but I'm not familiar with when it started or where or what it is. But apparently, in one of the panels, there's an image of a bunch of kids that are out dressed up for Halloween because this was like the Halloween strip, and some places, Bleeding Cool and others, had mentioned that. Oh, cool, there's a girl in this dressed up as Stephanie Brown, and there's obviously this, you know, Batgirl with blonde hair, and you're like, oh, cool, you know, it's like a girl in a DC comic dressed up as Stephanie Brown. Not Stephanie Brown, just dressed up as Stephanie Brown. Instantly, apparently, DC caught wind of this and went back and had the panel re-edited so that now the girl is a brunette instead of blonde, so now it's a brunette dressed up as Batgirl, and not to be confused with a girl dressed up as Stephanie Brown, Batgirl.
Okay.
They're really keeping like this ridiculous lid on Stephanie Brown in DC, and I don't know what it is.
They're doing that because she's going to freak out when she shows up in the next issue, Batgirl.
I don't know. Yeah, but it's like, it's... It's just, it's gotten to the point of almost insanity. Like it's like become its own thing. Like they've blocked it so much that
I just think they need to bring her back, and they just need to rename the book Batgirls, and then there's two of them. You know?
Yeah.
There's Bat, Stephanie and there's Barbara. Then people might be happier. I don't know.
I mean, I get it. It's like there's really not much point in that character existing right now. But
yeah, there is.
Would you like to elaborate on that, or
do I need to?
Stephanie because people awesome. Like her.
Well, yeah, but I mean, okay. The thing is like we're in a new universe. We're in a new, you know, thing.
We're in half a new universe. Yeah. Let's get it right.
Well, okay,
52
yeah,
has been half a new universe from the very get-go.
Fair enough. But you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, their intent is to try to keep it fresh, and there's not really a need for another Batgirl right now.
But spoiler. But she doesn't have to be Batgirl. She could be Spoiler.
True. Exactly. True, true. So, I mean, there's possibilities, but...
Spoiler and Red Robin go around.
Character
right.
can exist.
Yeah.
So. There you go, yeah. I'd buy that book if Scott Lobdell's not writing it.
Yeah, just well, unfortunately, apparently he's the only person that can write upcoming comics, so, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So, I don't know, it's just kind of funny. They've really kept a lid on that. When they do reintroduce her, which I'm sure they will at some point, it's either going to be one of two things. It'll either be to enormous fanfare, or it'll be such a background thing and everybody will just go... Well, damn. And then they'll shoot her in the head, and that'll be it. You're like, oh, well, there she was.
Now, what's going to happen is the Joker's going to take that face off that he's got now, and it's going to be Stephanie's face underneath. And she's going to be wearing Joker's actual face.
Then
he's just going to go around swapping people's faces over left, right, and center, and Stephanie's going to be stuck with that face forever, and that's when she's going to become Spoiler again.
Okay. I'll buy that.
Yeah, I probably would still buy that.
That's my theory. I may be wrong. So My Little Pony's got 19 covers. Stop staring at me.
God. I still can't believe that.
I still wish one of the covers was like a pony with the Joker face because it would just be hysterical.
Oh my God. Someone draw that, please.
I want one of them to have Rob Liefeld drawing it. You just got this pony with no legs or feet. And it's just all head and back.
God.
Just arm to the teeth.
Rob Liefeld.
Hello there. I'm Death Pony.
You know what's really the only thing the most annoying thing Rob Liefeld has done lately is change his Twitter avatar back to his own face.
It's terrifying.
It used to be Deathstroke, wasn't it? Or
it was Hawkman.
It was Hawkman,
and that
okay.
was fine, you know. But now it's his face, and it's like he's so hideous that I really don't want to stare at his face when I'm looking at.
Let's be fair. He's not hideous. He's childlike.
Yeah.
It has the face of a child on the head of an adult. It's like it's just been stretched across. It's weird.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. I'll go with that. That's even more
tiny
horrifying.
Tiny childlike eyebrows. Freaks me out.
Not attractive. Let me put it that way.
Breaking news. Rob Liefeld is directing Star Wars Episode 6.
They found someone worse than Lucas.
God. Okay, well, let's talk about some comics from this week, then. We'll just see what y'all do. Okay, Chris Triplett, what do you got, sir?
I will be talking about Ultimate Comics Spider-Man, issue number 16.1. What the hell? There's an Ultimate Point One?
Now there's Ultimate Point Ones? Really? Do we really need that?
So this is like snuck into the Ultimate Universe? I mean, I wasn't buying any other Ultimate Comics anyway. This isn't going to get me to buy any other Ultimate Comics, so okay, I guess. I mean, I don't even understand why it's called Point One, honestly. Why is this not like the next issue? Why is this not 17? Because it feels like it's an issue of Ultimate Spider-Man, you know? Basically, the story, it's kind of interesting because it revolves around... kind of like the past couple of issues where we had the Prowler, you know, spoilers for anybody who hasn't been reading Ultimate Spider-Man, Prowler died. He was,
we
you know...
We already spoiled that on this show.
He was Miles' uncle, so this is like a pretty big deal, but going back to it, this event kind of, it was captured on tape, and Betty Brant, who is a reporter, course, for the Daily Bugle, saw a video of the tape, and through just, you know, watching this video and just kind of listening, because she can, like, hear him talking and everything, she hears Prowler say, "You are just like me," before he dies, you know, talking to Miles, of course. And just through, like, that little piece of conversation throughout this issue, she's basically piecing together who is the new Ultimate Spider-Man. And she almost gets it. She gets pretty close. She actually, I believe, accuses Miles' dad. You know, because she does search and finds out, you know, he had a brother, and, you know, the Prowler used to, you know, run around with his brother a lot, and then they had their break. You know, he didn't want to have anything to do with them. She finds the spider, the dead spider that bit Miles in the Prowler's, you know, old apartment, because his apartment's being rented out to somebody else now. And she starts piecing it all together, and she thinks she's got it. And she's going to take her story to Jonah. And Jonah basically says, "I ain't running this. You know, I ain't going to let you destroy this man's life." And I'm pretty much summarizing. I mean, this is like a Bendis issue. So that's basically what happens. And I'm summarizing the entire issue in just like a few couple of seconds of just talking about it. But what's really interesting about it is how close she gets. But really, it's kind of like what happens at the end of the issue. Which I don't know. I mean, should we spoil it? You read it, Adam. I mean, what did you think? I didn't see this coming. I mean, I'm not going to spoil it because, like, you know, people are going to want to read it because it's really interesting. But, like, by the end of the issue, something or someone that you didn't expect to come back is back. And I really did not see this particular character die at the end of this issue. I did not see this coming. I was like,
no.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth it. I mean, just if you see point one, a lot of point ones are not really worth it. I mean, it's sad because a point one should be something big. I mean, you put it on the cover, you make a big deal that, oh, this is like some sport special, you can just jump in and just read this one issue. But most of them are not that good. I've only read a couple that I've really liked. This one, like I said, this should be issue 17. This is, that's how important this is. It's
to be issue 17, and they've just pulled it back to make it a point one.
It's really, I mean, why are they doing Ultimate point one? I don't get that. I mean, I understood why they were doing it for the Marvel Universe, but I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm reading the other Ultimate comics. Maybe there is some reason why they should be doing it. I don't know.
I mean, does it feel that, like, point one kind of feel, though, where it, like, tells you more of the story or anything, or, like, you know, the whole point of the point ones was that it was supposed to be for, like, a jumping on point.
Like a jumping on point. I think that you could probably pick this as a jumping on point, but it's got a lot of backstory in it too. I mean, because, like, if you didn't read those issues where Prowler, you know, and Miles, you know, had the fight and what went down with it, then maybe you'd be a little confused. But, you know, other than that, yeah, I mean, this could be a jumping on point, especially with, you know, what happens at the end of the issue. Because it's definitely something where you're going to read it and you're going to be like, maybe I should be getting Ultimate Spider-Man, you know? Maybe I need to pick up issue 17, you know? So, yeah, I mean, it continues to be good, and yeah, I'd very much recommend it. And quickly, I'm just going to kind of make a reference that, you know, Wolverine the X-Men is still awesome. And I wish McFeely was here because there is a Swarm joke.
That was the other thing that happened, I guess, this week, is that we confirmed that Bendis is going to be on Uncanny, which we sort of knew but hadn't been talked about within the Marvel Now context. So
So is that going to be his all-new X-Men, or is that going to be something else?
There's all-new X-Men, like, and there's Uncanny, and he's doing both.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So that's interesting. We kind of knew that was happening, but it had sort of been not announced, and so everybody was just kind of like, you know. Just assumed it was coming, but
as long as they leave my Wolverine and the X-Men alone, they can do whatever the hell they want with Uncanny X-Men.
Are they leaving that?
I hope. I mean, this issue says Marvel Now on it, so I assume it's safe.
Okay. Well, yeah, you're fine then.
It says Marvel Now joined the revolution, so I'm assuming it's safe at least until they get tired of putting Marvel Now on their covers. And then we might.
Anytime in the next year, I'm sure.
Then
when's
we might
the next event?
Get rid of it. But yeah, it continues to be awesome. I don't understand why you people are not reading this book. It's the most fun comic I've read in God forever.
If there's no other reason to buy this book, it's just for the panels where they're interviewing the teachers.
Oh my god, yeah. Did you read it?
Yeah, I've read it. I'm just trying to find the... here it is. My name is Hellstorm, and these Tusfleffins are as follows. Lesson 1, never trust the devil, even if he's your father. Lesson 2, never perform exorcisms whilst intoxicated. Lesson 3, never marry anyone who's not a Satanist. It's just...
I love this one. Jack Russell, werewolf by night, gym teacher by day.
Next!
Next!
It's the two at the top of that page. Genhoff, Gorilla Man, wrestling coach, professor of firearms, head of Department of Good Times. Next! Ghost Rider, penance, motorcycles, burning.
I love that Ghost Rider's on there, and you it's just a flaming skull, so you can't tell which one it is. But in my heart, I like to think it's the Dan Ketch Ghost Rider.
There's only one Ghost Rider.
I like to think that they pulled him out of the 1990s just for this issue.
You would like to think that, but it's not, because there is only one Ghost Rider. Think that, because it's wrong.
I can think whatever I want.
No, you can't.
But I do think that this is an excellent book, and my God, if you have any interest in X-Men or the strangeness that is X-Men, you should be reading that book.
Awesome.
Unlike modern X-Men, it just embraces the odd, the silliness of the entire thing.
It embraces it makes fun of it, and you have fun with it. And hey, I'm reading a comic where, like, you know, Jean Grey doesn't die for the 19th time, and, you know, Cyclops mm-hmm. and Wolverine aren't getting into a fist fight. They're actually having fun. My God. Yeah. What a crazy concept. They're having fun.
Fun in a comic? That doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
I don't believe it. Awesome. Okay. Adam, sir.
I'm going to do Avenging Spider-Man Annual Issue 1. See, this is a great one because I'm looking at it and going, how the hell do I even start this? It starts off with Parker trying desperately to catch a train. The train's really packed out and he can't get anywhere in it, which leads to the first great moment of the book, which is Parker looking at a guy and just, you beat up school geeks, don't you? I can usually tell. Which ends up him being thrown out of the train and shouted, print media is obsolete, pal. Yeah, digital is the future of the information delivery. It's just a matter of time until all tablet devices incorporate the homogenous system for payment and distribution. You dork. What the hell did I just read?
Wow.
And it cuts over to the Thing, who's babysitting. And then it cuts over to two guys who are digging up Central Park to try and find alien technology so they don't ever have to actually have a job. And then it goes back to Spider-Man, traveling around, getting shouted at. And the two guys who are digging up Central Park suddenly realize that this thing that they have dug up, it basically makes people angry. And they start to fight everywhere.
So it's the hate plague.
Yeah, pretty much. It's the hate plague in a tiny box.
Nice.
And so they decide the best thing to do with this is to use it to rob banks. Spider-Man jumps in to try and save everybody, and for his troubles, he gets beaten up by the Thing because he owes him $30.
Wow.
Yep. The Thing... the fist fight carries on for ages until Franklin and I can never remember the little girl's name. Someone help me, please.
Are you talking about Val?
Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't. Yeah.
They jump in to try and stop Spider-Man from being beaten to a small spidery pulp by shouting at him. Now, you've got to remember, they're in distance of the hate box. So they're full of anger, right? These two kids run up to Spider-Man. Leave Uncle Ben alone! He's plainly having his inherent aggressive tendencies enhanced by some form of nefarious artificial external energy field. We need to find the projector of said field and deactivate it before people get badly hurt. That said, touch my uncle again and we'll rip your freaking head off. Yeah, you big spider poo! It's just brilliantly written.
Who
wrote this?
Rob Williams.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's the same as doing Venom, isn't it?
Yes, actually, I think it is. But it carries on. The two guys basically end up taking the hate box to somebody called the Big Dog. Thing and Spider-Man come through the wall, fighting over the $30, or as Spidey says, the $29.75. and everybody gets full of hate, so they all start having a bit of a pagger, until somebody breaks the box. And then it's the most disturbing thing I've read ever. Because the box no longer gives out hate, it gives out love.
Oh, God.
So you get the wonderful sequence of the Thing and Spider-Man slobbering lips.
Oh, God.
I kid you not.
Wow.
The Thing delicately lifts up Spider-Man's mask and tongues begin to move.
Mm. That's got to taste like sand or something, right?
I had to read it twice, just sitting there going, why? Why is this? There is two panels of them just smooching away. Spider-Man's there, snuggle-buggles.
Wow.
When the box is smashed, the Thing decides to reassert his masculinity by beating the hell out of everybody in a 5-mile radius. And the issue ends up with the two brothers who dug everything up realizing that they already have everything they need. They don't need to rob banks as they've been left for the police, and Spider-Man swings away. It's just a really fun one-off story. As I say, the sight of Ben Grimm and Peter Parker properly smooching is something I will never get out of my brain. Ever.
Yeah, that's something you can't unsee.
That'll be one of those like lost treasures. Like, any 10 years from now, some comic guy is gonna be like, "Can you remember that time?"
That's gonna be my Twitter avatar right now.
Oh man! But it's just so funny. Just the little Ben, little Franklin, just shouting at the top of his voice, trying to explain what it is that's going on, but because he's so angry.
Wow.
Yeah, you spider poo. After reading this, I am definitely going to be picking up some more Avenging Spider-Man just to see.
It's not a bad book. I kind of wish I was still getting it. I mean, because every once in a while, there'll be like a creative team that's on it that just catches my eye, like that the run where it was like a kind of like pre Captain Marvel. That was pretty good. I like that.
I'm also going to give a quick shout-out to the new Deadwardian, because I don't think anybody has ever read it, ever.
I had no idea what this was.
It's the premise of it is that at some point during the Elizabethan reign of London, zombies happened everywhere, because it's the only way to win a war.
Makes sense.
It's never explained more than that. However, if you are bitten by a zombie, never says, it's just a war. The idea is, if you're bitten by a zombie, you get to take something called the treatment, which then makes you basically a vampire. They never call it a vampire. They just say it's the treatment. And you've got this policeman who's investigating the murder of a immortal. And he's trying to work out how something that can't be killed is dead. Whilst all the time, there's zombies just wandering the streets. It looks very... is it Darwin Cook? Yeah, it looks a lot like something that Darwin Cook put together. And it reads like good Alan Moore.
This is Dan Abnett, I think I was reading a little bit about it. I researched a little when you mentioned it, because I actually saw you mention it like on Twitter, and I was like, what the hell is that? I have no idea what that is. And it's Vertigo, isn't it? It's like a Vertigo book.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a little bit different. I can understand why a lot of people haven't come across it, and I can also understand why people who have come across it aren't really fans of it, because it is a bit of an acquired taste, but I recommend it. I think it's really good. Not much to laugh at. It's very dour, but as a modern comic, it's a very enjoyable one.
Interesting.
Apart from that, the final thing I want to bring up is a one-noise review of Masters of the Universe, The Origins of Skeletor. There we go.
All right. That good.
That's,
huh?
That's a positive, right?
That's a bias.
Tony would not a toilet paper.
Wow.
God, it was awful.
That bad.
Just.
Was this the DC one, or is this something?
No, it's the DC one.
Okay.
Is this a digital, or is this print, or?
I hope it was print, because if it was digital, it was going to be really difficult to wipe my ass with.
Wow. I don't know. I've not kept up with it. I know that. I know they did that James Robinson series. Is this ain't the James Robinson series, is it? This is something else, I'm assuming.
No, it's its own thing. It's its own thing. To be honest with you, I got it digitally. I don't know if it got a print release as well. I didn't care enough to find out. Sent off an email to try and get my money back for it. Oh, God.
Wow. Like, please, what have you done? Okay. Sweet. Please. That Please. Sounds great. Wasted. I cannot find a picture of that online yet, so I will.
Would you like me to sort it out for you?
Yeah, if you can find a picture of that, that would be great. I might change my Twitter avatar to it momentarily.
I think you should.
For fun.
Without seeing it, I think you should.
Yeah, without seeing it. So I guess I'll give two quick recommends. So one is Captain Marvel. This is the end of the 6-part story. I don't know. I mean, it's just kind of an interesting ending. This has been a time jumping sort of storyline, and just sort of kind of taking Carol back to literally to her roots and origin. So so it's been fun and interesting. Of course, it's always a treat to see Emma Rios' art. And that's what you get on this and the previous issue, which were a lot of fun. It sort of sorts itself out in an odd way, but it's still a fun ride. And yeah, Carol's still completely egotistical and awesome, is what you basically learn. So
the interesting thing is going to be like the next issue, because like mm-hmm. now that the first arc's done.
Right.
Will it continue to be good? You know, is there going to be like a pull to keep me on the book? Because like I was thinking, am I done or not?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm.
I think I'll get 7, and if 7's not going to catch me, then I don't know. We'll have to reassess.
Yeah, and I mean, actually, I'm more excited about the next arc than I am. You know, really, this was kind of like getting your feet wet, getting into it. You know. For Kelly, so we'll see where she goes from this. So I'm excited. I like it. I'm sticking with it. I'm staying with it. So the other thing I'll talk about is the Action Annual came out this week, which is, for not being Morrison, actually not bad. It's sort of the origins of the K-Man, the Kryptonite Man. Here,
do they call him the K-Man in it, or do they call him Kryptonite Man?
They call him both. I think they call him both. They kind of go back and forth. Which is apparently it's the dude from. I think this guy was actually seen in panel several issues ago. I think it's the guy that's the neighbor, that was Clark's neighbor, and he ran in and like the guy was beating the hell out of his wife, and so he like threw the guy into the river. And so the guy's all pissed because he lost his wife and kids and all this stuff. And so, you know, he wants to kill Superman. Like you do.
Yep.
And
that happened.
So this is how he gets infused.
Had steel.
This is, yeah, had steel. So this is how he gets infused with Kryptonite. This is Steel's first appearance. And it's kind of split into two parts where, like, the first part of this is, like, the K-Man. And then the second half of this is sort of putting some pieces in place for Luther and the government and other stuff. And then the last part of this is super trippy because it's like you get past that whole story and you get to the end and then there's this backup thing and you see a submarine and radioactive stuff and then this dude gets dumped out of this and onto an island and then there's like shattered images of all these memories. And then there's a guy on an island, like, you know, I don't know, surviving. And a big, like, leopard jumps out at him, and he screams at it. And it, like, basically just half of it flies apart. And his eyes are all purpley, and eventually he just sort of like blows up the island as he's screaming. And then you see at the bottom of one of these panels, like, his face starts to kind of slough off. And then there's more splashes of memories. And then he's just sitting there, holding his face as his skull is illuminated with atomic energy. Yes, it's the atomic skull. What? Like, of all the things that did not need to be in the New 52.
I was looking at this and looking at the art, because like I haven't read it, but the art was like really nice. I was like, God, who does that? And I looked at the end, and it's Ryan Sook. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I don't know what this is going to be. I don't know if – I guess this is going to be a backup story or something else, or I don't know what's coming, if it's coming in Action.
I think it's funny backup, that the person that does the backup stories for Action Comics had a backup story in their comic in which they did the backup story. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
You know?
So, anyway. Yeah. So, wow. Atomic Skull.
Awesome. See, but my question is this. How did you feel about seeing Steel again in the New 52?
I was – I mean, so that was so set up from the very, very beginning, like the first issue or two. It was like no surprise at all.
Doesn't need to be a surprise. I'm just happy to see the 90s are coming back.
God, they are, which is so weird to me. It's like, really? We really want to... But it's like they're not. It's like they're this distilled... Not distilled. I would say diluted, I guess. It's like a diluted version of the 90s where it's like we're getting some of these 90s characters, but not with the same sort of... how do I put this nicely? With all the art looking the same and everything being hardcore, you know? So it's like we're getting the 90s characters, but not with the hard edge and all of the art looking exactly the same. So maybe
what you're saying is we're getting the 90s, but it's just not extreme.
It's not extreme enough.
It's not extreme.
We need more Superman riding a skateboard if it's going to be like really extreme. You know,
pay attention to Scarlet Spider.
Wow. Yeah. So apparently, I was sent a thing. Let me see if I can take a look at this. And this is what I was hoping for. If this is something I'm gonna.
Well, I've sent you a picture. I'm not telling you anything about what it is.
Oh well. Fair enough. Okay. Let's see what we got here. Why does it keep throwing it over? Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. That's perfect. Now I just got to take
out... Not the reaction I was expecting.
That's... I'm going to take out the word bubbles, and that will be avatar ready.
That's your new Twitter avatar.
That will be looking forward to that, kids, because that's awesome. All right. So, anyway, annual. You know, if you're looking for just Morrison stuff, it's not Morrison, so I will say that. But no, it's pretty good.
But,
it's not a
but
bad
the backups story. Are awesome. So yeah, I haven't read it, but I assume this was good.
Yeah, it's Atomic Skull.
Atomic Skull.
He takes his face off like he's wearing a knit hat.
I mean, I've never seen him in an episode of Justice League before. Like not once.
Yeah.
Just wait till Disney buys DC. You'll probably get Atomic Skull the TV series.
Oh my God.
Yes.
So,
Justice League versus Star Wars 2015.
Since we can pad out the show a little bit, let's talk, I guess, a little bit about More Than Meets the Eye. This is the second to the last issue of Shadow Play. So it's, I guess that's a three story arc where they're all sitting around telling a story, hoping to spark Rung's memory. If I remember correctly, like that's the setup of this. And this is basically a pre-war story that's basically sort of a whodunit sort of detective story that's now grown into like this larger conspiracy.
Yeah, I kept wanting to think that like it would be like better if it was like black and white and everybody was like talking like a gumshoe detective, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's really grown out of that. And then there's of course this little sub bit where someone not tried to. I guess someone tried to kill Red Alert is where we're at now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they find him and his head's missing, and they think that Cyclonus did it.
Yeah, they think Cyclonus did it, which was a great part here because Drift is like trying to interrogate him.
Yeah.
And he's like, "So I noticed you came here without a fight. Rodimus asked me to come here. He's the captain of this ship. I did as he asked." Well, you practically handed yourself in. "I don't mind being interviewed, but I object to being threatened. So I suggest you put the sword down and apologize." Do you feel threatened? Smacks the sword out of his hand, throws him down on the floor. Apology accepted. Awesome. Anyway, so yeah. So that's good times. But I don't know. What do you think of this overall, this like sort of Orion Pax, like Decepticon Senate conspiracy story?
I just love, like, in their stories, Orion Pax is probably way more awesome than he actually is.
You get that,
like, he's jumping on, like, you know, Transformers that are jets, and then they're crashing to the ground. It's like, well, what did he jump off? I just assumed he jumped off the roof, you know? He just came out of nowhere.
He does that a lot. You're getting the story embellishing feeling, then, is what you're saying. Getting the
it's
sense
that one panel in the middle. It's the Orion Pax landed on the guy's back. Where did he even come from? I always assumed he jumped off the roof tailgate.
Yeah.
He did that sort of thing quite a lot. Pax is so cool. More of this, please. More jumping off roofs. Roofs, roofs, more jumping off things.
God. This world story was interesting as well. As they, I think the best part of the story, though, is they talk about Whirl, of course. Whirl was put into prison for beating the snot out of Megatron when he was their prisoner. And, you know, of course, Orion had him thrown in prison. And where he gets subterraneously, like, beaten constantly because, of course, most of the people in prison are Decepticons. So it's like every time he gets a new cellmate, he gets the shit beat out of him. And like the denouement of Whirl's little story is that they bring in his new cellmate, and it's Impactor, and everybody's like, "Oh, cool, Impactor! So that's where you met Impactor, awesome!" And then you like that's how you became part of the Wreckers. He's like, "Well, actually, no. He beat me and left me in critical condition, and then years later we met again."
That's awesome.
Like, oh well. You know, you kind of get insight into why Whirl might be even more, like, off and twisted, you know? It's like, if you spent years in, like, an Autobot prison getting the shit beat out of you every day, you know.
Yeah, like, the stuff, like, Ron Pax goes to him, you know, to get some information, and Ron Pax is like, you know, thank you, I appreciate the help, and you kind of like, oh, and he's just gonna like be like, I'm just wanting to, you know, be, you know, kind of make amends for what I did. No, he just wants revenge on somebody. I'm stuck in here. I just want somebody to suffer.
I just want it to suck for somebody else.
Yeah,
awesome.
It's not just that either. It's the Senate mutilated me, got me to do their dirty work, and abandoned me. I want you to hurt them. I want you to crush them. I want my hands back.
Yeah.
And if that world suddenly becomes a really sympathetic character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Goes from a very, very funny line of I just want revenge to oh.
Yeah.
Someone give him his hands back. And now he's got even more grotesque snappy things. You just
wonder. And they even call him that too. They call him Fingers.
Fingers.
Yeah. It's like, oh god, poor guy. What else was interesting in this? Part of this investigation leads to them finding these, like, brainwashing clinics, I guess. Which is sort of horrible.
It's the clinic where, like, they switch out your body. Like, you want to be a jet? You're a jet now.
Right.
But there's this conspiracy where they're doing something to their minds. They're, you know, altering their brains.
Which, if you think about it, like, this there's a two-page spread that's four panels, you know, four lines of panels. And you see this deal where they're, like, walking around with all these little sphere things. Those are Cybertronian brains. So if you think about this in people terms, they're walking around with brains on dishes.
So that's why Prowl looks so shocked in that panel. Okay.
Yeah, that's why that's kind of awful. Because those are basically Cybertronian brains on plates all over the place. Yeah. And, like, they found the empties as well, so... Yeah. But I love this little bit where, like, Prowl and... who's this? Prowl, Skids, and... is this Skids? Or is that somebody, somebody else? But anyway, a bunch of them, like, piece together this whole conspiracy... They figure out that it's the funeral for which Prime was it?
Nominus, wasn't it?
Funeral for Nominus. They've switched out the Matrix of Leadership with a bomb. So now this group is going to have to go in, get the bomb. So that should be a lot of fun. So that should be the end of Shadow Play, issue 11.
Yeah, just the image of, you know, Orion Pax, Optimus Prime, whatever, you know, saying we have to steal the Matrix. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Kind of like...
It's kind of odd and kind of cool as well, you know? It's
like, wow. I mean, like, they've done a good job with him in this. Like, in this backstory, they actually made him kind of an interesting character. Because, like, you could be like, oh, God, you know, Optimus Prime's in this. What the hell? But, you know, he's actually, like, the way they keep embellishing the stories and making him far more awesome than he actually is, you know?
Yeah, and that is the thing, too. I mean, these are all stories that are being told, so how much embezzlement and embezzling of the story there is, you know, embellishment, I guess, is more what I'm saying. But
they even said, like, at the beginning of it, didn't they say, most of this happened the way we're telling it, but not all of it or something? Wasn't there, like, some little line or something at the beginning?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I think it was the last issue that had Drift was sort of embellishing the story even further from what Ratchet was saying. Making Ratchet come out with some really sort of incredibly thespian lines. Which is, I didn't say that.
Yeah. Oh, the religious stuff too. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, because it was Ratchet talking about, you know, his faith or whatever. And yeah. Ratchet.
We all have a place and a part to play. I didn't say that. Something like that.
Well, there was also a little bit in this that was like that. It was. Prowl and Chrome Dome are talking about the politics of it, you know, if a war breaks out and what will happen or whatever. And I guess it's is it? I never can remember which cassette is which. Is he Rewind? Yeah,
he's Rewind, isn't he?
Yeah, Rewind's like, you know, it's like, oh, we don't need any of this, and he's like, well, what? He's like, no, your padding story, move on. So it's like. Why is that being cut off? You know, in a story like this now, like, I've gotten to the point where it's like I question everything. It's like, why did he cut that story off? Anyway, I mean, this continues to be good. I still say this is. I mean, I'm not as taken by the Shadowplay story. It's not my kind of deal. But everything that's come before it, and if it's like, if this was told as a single narrative without the breaks and stuff, I might be a little bit more interested in it, but it still remains to be a good story, you know.
I kind of like the breaks, though. I mean, it's a different way to tell that story. I mean, they could have just done the background story by itself, separate from the breaks, but still, it kind of because it adds the stuff, like, you know, like you were saying, you question everything you're being told. Mm-hmm. Could wind up, but this entire story didn't happen anywhere like this, and we may actually get the real story in the last issue. Who knows?
Yeah, and you can't, I guess, get funny lines where you've got, like, but that's a whole other story. Sorry.
I was wanting to say that.
That and impossible. Our lasers are just making it stronger.
Yeah.
So it's true. You can't just
If you had said
it's
to me,
still awesome.
If you'd said to me a year and a half ago that two of the best comics, full spot, just comics that you're reading next year are going to be Transformers, I would have laughed you out of the room.
Yeah.
Pointed and get out.
Yeah.
You talk foolishness, sir. Leave. Leave me now.
And yet...
Here we are.
Yeah. I know I recommended it to one of the guys.
It's amazing.
One of the guys at the shop I recommended. I'm going to have to actually dig up the my first issues and let him borrow it, because I told him, it's like, this is seriously one of the best team books that's out right now, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a great story, good, you know, good fun, and yet, you know, there's real sort of danger and intrigue and people dying and, you know, people getting their heads cut off.
There's characters you actually care about. That's what makes
absolutely.
It good.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So it's good. It's very good. Well, that killed 5 minutes. So, yeah.
So it's to the next 10 minutes. I think we should talk about the entirety of Howard the Duck. All of it.
The comic?
No, that's
the...
a no then. Yeah.
Well, it wouldn't take that long for me to talk about it.
Oh! Dude, Disney bought Lucasfilm. That means Howard the Duck can come back, right? Because didn't, like, Lucas have the film rights or something? I don't know.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
I just did Happy Wee!
Wow. That could be interesting.
Howard the Duck and Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and Howard's missing. I don't
know. Does this mean... Well, I think the more important question is, does this mean that Howard the Duck is going to be in the next Avengers movie?
I think he should.
And wow, look at Adam's eyes. That's amazing.
If Joss Whedon is doing Avengers 2, he owes us to have Howard the Duck in it.
Man, can you imagine if Howard the Duck showed up? 5 people would be like, that? And everybody else would be like, what?
More people would get that than Hey Thanos, I think.
No, more people would think it was Daffy. But, you know.
That's it. That's it. Dude. Star Wars Episode 7 starring Howard the Duck and the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
Wow.
Right there.
Yeah.
Right there.
There you go.
Can you imagine if they made an epic fantasy trilogy out of Howard the Duck? Oh.
Can you imagine a Guardians of the Galaxy movie coming out and it possibly having a teaser trailer for Episode 7?
I want to see a trailer for Howard the Duck that starts out like it's Lord of the Rings, and you see feet walking by, and it's like regular feet, you know, trudging through like the hills, and then at the end of the line, it's the duck feet as they go, with some sort of interesting titles, you know, in between, you know. But epic music and
I'm excited.
Journey.
I am seriously excited.
An epic
Howard
journey
the Duck
beyond
in
the
Star Wars. Oh man!
Wow.
Right. Who can hear my voice right now? Who knows anybody at Disney? Start campaigning now.
Yeah, let's get this.
I will come to your house and do happy things for you.
Like dusting?
Yes, yeah, dusting. Cooking a good steak meal.
Cleaning,
fellatio.
Cleaning
whatever.
The window.
You know, just give me my Howard the Duck trilogy.
Fair enough. Cool.
Yep.
Well, this has been great fun. I think I'm going to go try to get Masterpiece Optimus Prime, apparently.
I think you should. If a kid's near it, you need to knock that kid.
I know. I'm going to totally go Hot Wheels collector on any kid and just, like, shove them out of the way. Like, mine!
You need to grab that AT-AT toy and, like, throw it at him.
Right. You deserve Power Rangers Samurai. Get out of here.
What you want to do is go down and find yourself no Masterpiece Prime whatsoever, and instead buy yourself Lego. Lots and lots of pretty, pretty Lego.
You know, I've definitely been buying up the Creon stuff. I've got a ton of the Transformers Creon stuff, so...
You need those DC superheroes Legos. What you need is, what is that?
That's the one of like Viacon.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, I've got that.
What you need is the Superman, Wonder Woman, Lex Luthor battle suit set. That's the most fantastic thing I've ever owned.
Those are good ones. Yeah.
The Lex Luthor battle suit's all the way over there, but there's a Superman.
Oh wow.
Yep. It's the Superman.
Nice. Very nice.
Which means. Superman versus Creon.
Yeah, I mean, it's all these kind of awesome things that you could never have before.
Yeah.
Much like what's happening with Star Wars, where it's now.
Where Howard the Duck shall now take over from Luke Skywalker.
God, can you imagine?
Yes. Yes, I can.
Wow.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, Adam, thank you so much for coming on the show.
You.
This has been fun.
Thank you.
And in particular, filling in last minute, as I realized like a few hours ago. That
I love these guests. I think we should have a guest every week now.
Well, we might be able to.
Whether somebody's like out or not, he's like,
just
you know,
have a guest in. Guest
Brian Michael Bendis is in this week.
We'll do Avenging.
Yeah, here's John's.
God,
I will tweet Rob Liefeld right now for you if you want.
No,
this is my hobby of tweeting things at Liefeld.
I'm sure he appreciates it.
We need to interview episode 7, like pronto. I mean, we need to know what he's doing with episode 7.
Right. How involved is he?
How involved is he with the project?
Right. Know? Is he doing concept work? Does it involve shoes?
Dear Mr. Liefeld, I have recently heard that you have become head shoe designer for the new Star Wars movies. I would like to know if this is true.
Oh. Love and hugs. anyway, yeah. So, yeah. So you should check out our show, fanboyversus.com. And you can find all the listings of our show that have been up and video as well. So that's always fun to do. It's always fun to watch a show in video. People like that. You know, it's a thing that we do because we can. Also, follow us on Twitter at FanboyVS. Occasionally, I'll Twitter new, you know, tweet news and information. We sometimes try to live tweet as we're doing the show as well. You can also follow us live every Sunday. It's going to be at tfradio.net/live. So join the chat. We have a decent active chat today, so good times there. So so we can always join in on the fun as people hang out and listen to us talk about comics, because why else wouldn't you? Yeah. So, Adam, give you a second. Plug your stuff, sir. What are you doing?
Now the pimping begins.
Yes.
Yes. If you find that Fanboy Versus is too serious a show for you, if you think it's too droll, what you want to do is go to www.oldoilhouse.co.uk and listen to your brains being slowly mashed by a show that lies to you and tells you it's about Transformers.
Yeah.
At the moment, we've got 7 of them running. 7 shows.
7 shows from the Old Oil House. Wow.
Yep, the Old Oil House. Now, I think we're actually putting out more than you are at this point.
Which is incredible, I know.
How is that possible? Brian makes like a new show on lunchtime. How is that possible?
Well, you still have. You know, the TFG1 Mike's network to beat. So, you know, I think they put out 20 shows a week. So,
challenge accepted.
So, awesome. And you're on Twitter then as well?
Yep, just find me at Grufflock.
Excellent.
Gruffflock.
So there you go. Follow him on Twitter. Triple, what's your Twitter again?
It is Man of the Town.
Yeah, I kind of hate him a little bit because that's such a great.
Easy to remember. I didn't want to be like Spider-Man fan 616.
That's what I'm saying, though. I hate it because it's so brilliant, you know?
I was like, I need something. I couldn't use my name because my name was going to be like, you know, Chris Triplett 242 or something. So I was like, let's see if this is taken. Hey, it ain't taken. I'm taking that. You know?
I know. It's great. I hate you for getting such a great
origin of the Twitter that makes no sense.
Right. But it's awesome, though. Like
I go to town
occasionally.
But other than that, it makes no sense.
To get comics and toys.
Get comics and toys?
Usually getting toys when they first come out, you know. Beating us all to them. So
yeah. I'm being shouted at by my whipping boy and part-time horseman. Timey telling me that I need to also plug out the fact that I am co-owner of the nerdsphere.blogspot.com, where you can find.
Oh, you can do that when you're on our show. Don't. Timey can do that when he's on. So, anyway, but yeah, no, Nerdsphere as well. That's good stuff. So awesome. Well, again, thank you so much for coming on the show and joining us and hanging out. This has been fun. Yeah, I think Triplett's right. We may cycle through a few more guests, so you never know who might show up.
I like guests.
Yeah, guests are fun. Especially when otherwise it would just be you and I. And
nobody wants
that. And I don't know how entertaining that would be. So, yeah. But all right. Well,
from the way that you two moved there, I actually expected Tripler to leave his screen and come into yours. That was really weird.
It could happen. It totally
wait a second.
Could happen. Oh, I didn't put that far enough back. Oh, well.
What? Sky is a space bridge now? Like in Space Bridge, Oklahoma?
I don't know
what you're saying?
Yeah. I messed up something in the show. Oh, well. Anyway, doesn't matter. So, anyway, thanks for tuning in, and please tune in next time when it'll be Fanboy versus...
This has been Fanboy versus... Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Like the podcast? Leave us feedback on iTunes. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.